It did it three times until I finally said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirit, unless you've been sent here by the permission of my Lord, leave and never come back in the name of Jesus Christ." And so I would see these things and I'd start to know there are demons trying to harass me, demons trying to mess with me. To this day, there is a great spiritual war. The vast majority of the spiritual warfare is not this sensational manifestation of an evil spirit. I get an email that says, "I have written about you to 70 Calvary Chapel churches." And immediately I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? In Revelation, it tells us there's a dragon, Satan, who is enraged, knowing his time is short and that he has gone off to make war against the saints, those who hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Oh, the mechanic just told us he thought it was pretty much a miracle that we made it here.
I'm actually on the phone with her while the police take him to the mental hospital.
This is apparently the work of a local arsonist who's doing this, lighting these fires. And here we are in the middle of this. There's the helicopter right there. And the fire is right there below us. We may end up having to evacuate.
I told Satan, "You want to ruin my life? Go ahead, but I'm going to rat you out. I'm going to tell everybody everything you've ever done. I'm going to tell your dirty secrets."
Okay, let's talk about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is an inevitable stage in the Christian journey to the top. It is a stage that repeats like several others. So not all of these stages are something that you get to one time, you get through and you're over. Spiritual warfare will follow us all the way through our lives.
If you've heard all of the stories of spiritual warfare in my life and you'd rather just get to the practicals of, okay, Michael, I get it, I'm in it, I want to know how to get out of it or get through it, that'll be part two. But I want to revisit, because there's a lot of new people to this channel. Before you can begin to handle spiritual warfare, you have to recognize that you're in the battle, and you have to begin to learn what the strategies and tactics and schemes of Satan are. So I'm going to expose some of that for you again in this story, just rehashing some of the highlights of how Satan has dealt with me over the years, and even up to and including just in the last 2 months, where if you'll wait till the end of the video, I'm going to share with you some video and just a quick highlighted version of 2 weeks of extraordinary spiritual warfare that we faced in opposition to the old lost trail. So stick with me. Let's dive in. Be patient. This is a really important subject. Want to make sure that we can have all the light we can with God's help on this. And then again, in part two, we'll look at some of the practicals for those of you who recognize the spiritual warfare you're in. What do you do about it? How do you get through it victoriously as a soldier in the Lord's army?
I have never found spiritual warfare to be more intense than when I first began to set out in radical obedience to Jesus Christ.
After a step of faith, most persons are looking for sunny skies and unruffled seas. And when they meet a storm or tempest, they're filled with astonishment and perplexity. But this is just what we must expect if we have received anything of the Lord. The best token of his presence is the adversary's defiance. And the more real our blessing, the more certainly it will be challenged.
It is crystal clear why I saw Satan so forcibly, repeatedly, and relentlessly attack the production of this story, Trusting God in the Storm.
And double click the picture. No matter what I do, I cannot get this picture to show up. Tell me this isn't crazy. And check that out. No matter what I do, I cannot get these two images to show up. I mean, just amazing. I've renamed the images. I mean, everything. And people don't believe in spiritual warfare. And people don't believe in the devil.
Come on, are you serious?
But I tremble often when I hear the irresponsible way in which people are talking today about ministries and gifts. It's tough to have a ministry in the body of Christ. The more harm you do the devil, the more he'll fight against you.
Why are you letting the devil just mock me like this, Lord? Why?
If you're not prepared for conflict and agony, just resign.
Yes.
If I don't journal this kind of stuff, nobody would ever believe it unless they see this with their own eyes. This kind of stuff happens on a daily basis. It's been weeks now. Today is Wednesday, December 19th at 6:41 in the morning. The final story video has been rendering all night long. And I have tried for weeks to get this project finished. And there has been so many technical problems, so many other issues. It's just been crazy.
And there was an error message that says your date and time settings are incorrect. And look at this. The time and date of my computer have automatically been changed to 3:13 p.m. on February 26th of 2010. Just arbitrarily.
Computer locking up.
My computer, I've never seen this ever. Ever, ever. You can hear if you listen to my computer.
Screen freezing up.
This is another first. I've never seen this before either. My computer, you can see the screen looks hazy. It says not responding. And yet the video is continuing to play.
Three or four or five different renders in a row, kaputs, gone, won't. The computer just crashes. I just sat here for the final few seconds while this thing finished. And I was so excited. I had my hands lifted. I was praising the Lord. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. And I'm praying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can accomplish all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And just really engaging in the battle, like in Moses lifting his hand so that the battle is assured. And I go to look at the video and the hard drive is now gone. This has been literally a minute. Look at this. The hard drive that is supposed to be on this computer is the M drive, the media drive, is gone. I just saw the video render. Now I can't even see the video because the hard drive is gone. And oh, by the way, the hard drive is permanently attached to the computer. It is not an external drive. It is built into the unit. If I didn't see these kind of things with my own eyes, I would think I'm nuts. You probably think I'm nuts, but let me just tell you something. When you become a true follower of Jesus Christ and you begin to share the gospel and you begin to invade the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light, you don't have to worry about whether or not you believe in the devil. He will reveal himself to you and he will make himself known to you.
The Bible makes it very clear, and you believe it by faith, that there is an enemy of God in this world. And if Jesus Christ is truly inside of you, there is a war in your life guaranteed, which is rooted in the Garden of Eden, where God himself placed enmity between the seed of Satan, who caused the fall, and Eve, who yielded to the temptation.
There is a very well-known former news journalist from Fox News named Tucker Carlson. I came across a documentary where a documentary filmmaker went to his home to ask him about his story of spiritual warfare, where he had encountered demons.
Do you think the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good?
That's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you?
Oh yeah, I had a direct experience with it.
In the milieu of journalism or just—
Nope, in my bed at night, and I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs in the bed and mauled. Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon. Or by something unseen that left—
Is that right?
Claw marks on my sides, on my—
So it left physical marks?
Oh, they're still there. Yeah, yeah. A year and a half ago.
Was your wife terrified? I know you were.
I wasn't. I was totally confused. I woke up and I couldn't breathe and I thought I was going to suffocate. And I walked around outside and then I walked in and my wife and dogs had not woken up and they're very light sleepers. And then I had these terrible pains on my rib cage and on my shoulder. And I was just in my boxer shorts, and I went and flipped on the light in the bathroom, and I had four claw marks on either side underneath my arms and on my left shoulder. And they're bleeding.
Wait, they were bleeding?
They were bleeding, yeah. No, they were actual claw marks. And I sleep on my side, so I wasn't clawing myself. I don't have long nails. And they didn't fit my hands anyway. But yeah, that happened. So I'm not from a world where things like that happen. I never heard of anything like that happening before. I had no idea what that was. I knew it was spiritual immediately. The next morning I woke up and I thought, that was the weirdest dream I've ever had. And then I saw blood on my sheets and I realized that was not a dream at all. So I called my assistant, who was like the only evangelical Christian I know, you know, well enough to call with something bizarre like that, totally bizarre like that. And she said, oh yeah, no, that happens. Yeah, people are attacked in their bed by demons. What? What are you even talking about? Yeah. And then I was seized with this very intense desire to read the Bible.
But when I saw that he had had that experience, I knew immediately, yes, this is real. These type of things actually happen. When I first became serious about my relationship with Jesus Christ, as I'll talk more about in this video, I began to experience spiritual warfare.
This is so creepy. Oh my goodness, this is so creepy. In the dream, I said, you have an evil spirit in you. That is what the problem is. And my gosh, the second that I said that in my dream, I woke up and the covers were being pulled off of my head, about around my body. It was the freakiest thing.
In the beginning, the spiritual warfare had a great deal of sensationalism to it. There were actually quite a number of encounters that I've had with demon spirits, like as in them manifesting themselves to me, like they did in this Tucker Carlson documentary. I have been held down in my bed multiple times, sleep paralysis. I've had situations where I've woke up and felt like there was a vision of a terrible dog standing and walking all over my bed, and he puts his nose down in front of me while I'm paralyzed, and he's drawing and sucking my breath out of me, and I wake up trying to breathe. I had a sensation one night of a demon landing on my side. Again, this is Motivational Mike here. I want you to understand. It's like you hearing Fox News correspondent Tucker Carlson talking about being held down and scratched by demons. And you start to say, well, that just doesn't make sense with anything we know you to be. Well, none of this made sense with people knowing who I was. And I started having these experiences where I literally perceived that a demon had jumped on my side one night while I was laying in bed, and then he jumped off of my side and tried to jump in my stomach as if he was trying to enter me. And I remember going into the fetal position and like literally groaning as hard as I could, and it was like a type of sleep paralysis thing. And then I came out of it, and every single time having to moan the name of Jesus, strain, unable to say the name Jesus. It's happened multiple times, and it happened a lot in the beginning. Terrible, terrible nightmares. Horrible nightmares. For example, when I lived in India, I'd have nightmares every single night. Just horrible nightmares like I'd never seen before. And one night, by the mercy of God, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there, you have to have the light on, and I see a black shadow just go from one wall to the next. As soon as I turned the light on, I just saw the black shadow go right through one wall to the next. And it was like God opened my eyes in that moment so that I could begin to see where these foul dreams were coming from. There are truly demons that you and I cannot see. We cannot understand. It's spooky. It's freaky. It's very difficult to perceive and understand or to even acknowledge in the natural realm that we live in. But I have seen so many of these things over the years. In the middle of a dark back porch in a hot tub, praying in particular for a particular person that was something very important to pray for. And while I have my head down praying and it's totally dark outside, there's no wind, nothing. The metal gates that were in the backyard area where my parents' house, this was at my parents' house, the metal gates, clang, 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 while I'm praying in the hot tub all by myself. And you feel, you know, the goosebumps go off and the hair stands on it end, like you know something weird. So then you're just like, maybe it was a coincidence. Go back into prayer, Father in Jesus' name, going clang, clang, clang. It got even harder. It did it three times until I finally said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirit, unless you've been sent here by the permission of my Lord, leave and never come back in the name of Jesus Christ." And so I would see these things and I'd start to know there are demons trying to harass me, demons trying to mess with me. One time I went to a deliverance conference in Lakeland, Florida, and this is new and I'm kind of first exposure to people being that were demon-possessed, being exorcised, and wondering, like, is this real? Is this fake? Is this just charismatic mania? Is this guy just a complete charlatan? What is all of this? And on a break, I'm just walking down a big, huge hallway with a bunch of men. Like, you know, there was hundreds of people. We're all going to the men's room. And this dark-skinned Indian kid was standing there. He just stood out to me. He was very dark skin and he was standing there. And as I'm going by, walking down the hallway with multiple people, he's and he's speaking in a language and sounds that don't make sense to anybody. It didn't sound like a language at all. And he's pointing directly at me the whole time. I had witnesses that were there that saw this. We then get ready to go back into the session. And as we're walking back to get our chairs, I notice that same Indian kid is now in the back of the room with somebody there, one of the ministers, and they have their hands on his head and he's being exorcised of demons and he's shaking and he's manifesting. And so the demons, whoever it was manifesting itself and pointing me out at that point in time. To this day, I don't know why. I think a little bit of pride came from that. Like, wow, of all the people walking down the hallway, they were pointing me out. And so I sometimes wondered if Satan was doing that to try to get me prideful, to think a little highly of myself. Like, ooh, you know, the demons pointed out Michael type of thing. But it was yet another manifestation that there were real demons. Demons are real. And I could tell you any number of these stories, but my point is this, that there is a spiritual warfare that is much more broad. And if I were to look at my life, at the totality of spiritual warfare, some of which I'll show you in this video today, just to remind you, the vast majority of the spiritual warfare is not this sensational manifestation of an evil spirit, where they manifest and hold me down in my bed and pull the covers off of my head. I'm laying on my stomach and I wake up in sleep paralysis. And it wasn't that I was just being held into my bed. They were trying to intimidate me and terrify me. And I'll be honest, it was terrifying in the moment when you just wake up and you can't speak, you cannot move, and you have this like sound in your ears that's like you can almost hear in a different realm. I don't know how to explain it. And then you can feel the covers being so carefully, frighteningly pulled off of your head. They were kind of above my head, pulling them down. And you're doing everything you can to speak the name of Jesus Christ until it eventually comes out. And then they flee. And then the sleep paralysis goes away at the name of Jesus. These kind of manifestations are frightening and they're fascinating, but they are so small. When I look at the volume of spiritual warfare, they are the exception. They're not the rule, unless you are, you know, living under an overpass or you're living, you know, below the streets of Las Vegas in a sewer system. The majority of spiritual warfare is not in a dark, shadowy figure appearing or you being held down in your bed or spooky things happening like you would see in a Hollywood movie, but it's Satan taking captive those around us to then do harm to us in ways that are masquerading as human nature. Oh, that's just them being jealous. Oh, that's just them being selfish. Oh, that's just them just being, you know, they're hurt and so they're hurting back. And while that can be a lot of it, the scripture tells us a different narrative. It says that there is a spirit who is at work in all of those who are disobedient and that he is the prince of this world. He is the god of this age and he leads the entire world astray. To this day, there is a great spiritual war. In Revelation, it tells us there's a dragon, Satan, who is enraged, knowing his time is short and that he has gone off to make war against the saints, those who hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ. If we hold to that testimony, you are marked. You're no longer in a playground like I once was as Motivational Mike. You've now stepped onto a battlefield. I tell the story in 2009 when my marriage is in a terrible crisis and my heart is in a terrible crisis and God is getting me closer and closer to a full absolute surrender. I end up having the experience in February of 2009 going to the rainforest. But before I go to the rainforest, my then spouse Carrie and I got into this just horrible, horrible argument. And I'm in so much pain over how she's treating me. I retreated to my backyard oasis. At the time, we were living in this big fancy house and I had a nice private reserve behind our home and a little trail I had etched out for myself. And that's where the Lord spoke to me. And I was in so much pain. I couldn't understand why these problems were happening in my marriage, why my spouse was acting towards me in ways that were completely irrational and very, very evil. And remembering that I had been a guy who had friends who tried to teach me many, many years earlier that basically the devil and his demons are behind every tree, I rejected that notion. And I wanted nothing to do with this idea that there were just devils under every tree or rock and they were out to get me and all this kind of stuff. So I had rejected the sensationalism, the supernatural part of spiritual warfare. And now here I was in a crisis. I was being touched by things through my marriage that were not natural. Her behavior was not natural. What I was feeling was not natural. I was in a crisis of belief. My positive attitude was no longer working against all of this. And I'm out there and I remember feeling so alone, so desperate. And it's one of the first times I get very, very humble before the Lord and cry out to him beyond just this kind of my selfianity. Hey, I'm doing all these things Christian. I'm a Christian. I have faith. God's blessing me. I have all this money, the great house, beautiful family, lots of people who love me in business. Now I'm meeting a crisis in my marriage that none of my positive attitude stuff was helping me with. I was in a land that I had never been before, facing giants I had never understood. And I'm crying out, God, what is all of this? And he speaks to me. And it was a message that said to me, I'm about to begin to teach you about a part of life that you cannot see with your eyes and a battle that you cannot win with a positive mental attitude. Brothers and sisters, I can feel what it felt like to have those words come into my spirit. You have to remember, I'm Motivational Mike at this time. And everything is about the temporal success. It's all about goal setting and positive mental attitude and increasing your income so that you can have a better life, materially speaking, and win in life. And now God is telling me that this positive mental attitude that people at that time had paid me hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach them how to live by. This God is now whispering to my heart in a moment of crisis that there is a war that I cannot see with my eyes and I cannot win with a positive mental attitude. And I knew God had my attention because, man, I tell you what, my life was in so much turmoil. My heart was in crisis. I'm emotional just thinking about how God came to me in that moment to open my eyes and speak to me about something that was going to become a huge part of my life from that point forward, spiritual war. Shortly after that trip into the woods, I get on an airplane and I fly to Panama, Central America, with a friend of mine to go to an event where Christian leaders have flown from all over the world to meet with a particular individual. And while I'm there, I'm there on business. I had this amazing dream. It was a three-part dream, although I didn't understand it at the time. It was showing me a picture of all the spiritual warfare, a terribly long battle that I was about to begin on, which I had no idea. Keep in mind, I could not interpret the dream. I knew Satan was in the dream. I knew demons were kind of reflected in the dream. I knew there was a picture of what appeared to be my then spouse in the dream. And I knew that there was a lot of hostility towards me. And it was a lot of stealing, killing, and destroying going on in this dream towards me. And I knew that the man that I met in the end, the 400-pound man dressed in all black, represented Satan. But I didn't understand what the dream meant. I didn't understand that it was God telling me through this powerful dream in the rainforest that I would meet with a decade and a half of terrible, terrible spiritual warfare.
Good morning. Can you please...
Shut it up! Shut it up! My bullets are coming! Shut it up!
I love you guys. I love you.
He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So much of which have been highlighted here and there, and some of more will be highlighted in this video that you will see today about this terrible, terrible battlefield that we enter into when we become Christians. It is amazing to me how God took Motivational Mike, who totally resisted the idea of spiritual warfare and didn't want to hear anything about it, and how he taught me to recognize Satan using the number 666.
But when 666 would show up, more than one time, like two or three times in one day, Michael would come through the door and he would say, "Guys, be prepared. Something's going to happen. I saw 666 three times today." And it wouldn't be a half a day would go by when we would either get something in the mail from the attorney, from the court.
It is absolutely amazing when I look back. You've seen the story, and forgive me if I have to share that clip again, because there are new people subscribing that haven't heard this, but God began to train me using the number 666 to recognize a circumstance, something that felt horrible, painful, some injustice, some affliction, some strike, some adversity. God began to train me using the number 666.
All of the emails had transferred, so when I checked my email on my iPhone, 666 emails. 15 minutes later, I'm at my office, attorney's office. Tears just streaming down my face. I've just spent the last 15 minutes reading over a motion to have me psychologically evaluated.
To help me associate Satan, his kingdom, his power, his desires for my life, his demons, his minions, and his attacks on my life. He wanted me to begin to see the very thing that he said to me in those woods behind that huge house.
Actually, within 12 hours, we should be seeing them and picking up my son, Tyler. I saw 666 four times.
It says, "Unbelievable. Your aunt, Lynn, has chased down and contacted my son in Alaska, saying that his mother is committing a crime by harboring Michael Criswell, a fugitive from the law."
This is a police officer standing outside talking to my ex-wife. We've just had a pretty big fiasco here where she's called the cops, came up and made a huge deal, started screaming at me and said I had the devil inside of me right in front of the school staff and all that while we're trying to get Tyler. Tyler starts to shake, comes over, my parents leave. So today is Sunday, November 10th. We are coming down to here in court that he's going to deliver us. We're going down into the lion's cage again. This will be time number 6 or 7 that my ex-wife has drugged me back into court.
He came after 7 years not to visit his 5 children. He came to kidnap 1 child. I was struck at midnight and he turned 18 because he has some sort of ill intent.
The accuser, Satan, of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. God put in place an extraordinary tool that was going to humble and humiliate everything in my natural life. all of that evil that God was telling me about, the spiritual warfare he was beginning to train me for, was going to be used to turn me into a servant of the Most High God, and was going to be used to break off all that stubborn, humanistic, positive mental attitude, goal-setting, motivational nonsense that I had been brainwashed and indoctrinated with. And God used that spiritual warfare to begin to destroy, exactly as he tells the prophet Jeremiah, that when things were so bad, like they would have been with me, he says, I'm sending you to tear down, to uproot, to destroy, and to overthrow. Think about it. That was God's purpose for raising up a prophet, so that then you could later on plant and rebuild. So the 666s were my training ground. When I would see a strike, instead of me associating it to normal human behavior, instead of me coming up with all of the human psychological terms, oh, she's just a narcissist. This is the way she, oh, she's just a sociopath. Oh, she's a psychopath. Oh, she's whatever you want to call it. In the name of human secular psychology, God wanted me to say no.
Something happened to her when she was a child, and look at there, right there, 666, right while I'm filming this.
This is coming from Satan. This person has been taken captive. And God, in his mercy, just like with Pharaoh and Moses, left hand working against his right hand, his left hand of power to harden Pharaoh, his right hand of power to perform miracles against Pharaoh. He works against himself. He hardens Carrie and he softens me. He gives me grace to stand up against it. He gives me truth to be able to humble myself. He brings me out of the dark and into the light. He humiliates me. He destroys all that is in me. And he raises me up, he graces me, he blesses me, he teaches me, all while he's working with his left hand to slay me. It is absolutely the most amazing thing I have ever seen or tried to understand, how God is so powerful, he works both sides, both hands against himself to mold you and I. The devil is by far the greatest instrument, probably second only, if I could pick one tool that God uses that maybe has more impact than Satan, it's time. But there is no other instrument that I have seen, brothers and sisters, that God has used more successfully in my life to get me and my wife and perhaps you to the best spiritual heights I've ever seen or perceived to be possible. But by the use of Satan. Every time I saw 666, I was being trained to recognize that behavior, that email, that strike, that slander, that false accusation, not as something that was coming from a hurt human being who, you know, hurt people, which is true. But to see that this person had been taken captive by Satan through disobedience.
The Bible tells us that he attempts to lead the whole world astray. And it also tells us that he is the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient. It also tells us in 2 Timothy that he takes some captive to do his will.
If I open my written journal app and type in 666, even in recent years, I can see dozens and dozens of times I recorded seeing 666 followed by some attack. It is remarkable to look back on and to see Father's mercy to continue to warn me of Satan's attacks, like when I saw the 666 at 7:35 a.m. on October 12th, 2022, just hours before someone first told me about Taylor Meitzner, Taylor Noel, putting out her Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell video. I would consider him demon-possessed, and he must be stopped so he can't abuse any more people. The most filthy of all the comments you'll see in this video, her suggesting that I have taken Tyler captive and was prepared to kill him if he ever tried to reach out. Do you want a mob rule to gang up on Michael, beat him to a bloody pulp, and haul him off to jail? Soon, a lynch mob mentality developed, and I had to flee the state for my safety. Or, like when Satan turned one of my most beloved brothers against me during a debate about Christmas. As we neared the end of the debate, the Lord showed me a 666. I left his home 2 days later, and then he began slandering me in the comments under Taylor's video about me, saying I had failed in the greatest commandment of love, and that God was going to take away my ministry. Months later, he wrote a slanderous letter lying to the Florida Family Court about me on behalf of Carrie, the most evil person I've ever known. It turns out the number of days between our Noah's Ark visit on May 9th, 2017 and March 5th, 2019 was exactly 666 days. The file size of the Kelly Slater video is 666. And you'll see, I think that after the fact is simply more evidence of how much Satan hated that video. Knowing it would have been after Kelly Slater saw my video, I took an interest to watch this interview and happened to notice when I looked at the likes, it was 666 likes. This is now the third 666 connection directly to this video I made for Kelly Slater. That next day, the day after we find out that Kelly Slater has seen the video that God has burdened me with, we get a UPS letter and a knock on our door with a notice that our landlord is giving us 30 days out to terminate our lease, that they are terminating our lease. Mm-hmm. Then on November 26th, I posted the video, God is Just. And then you saw at the end of that video, the timing of me putting that out was amazing, just astounding. 666 weeks and 6 days, if you include the last day, or 5 days if not, since the divorce trial. And that whole thing had been about Satan. Walking through the wilderness, it can be quite intimidating, especially when you're out here all by yourself. You can see I'm deep in the wilderness. You can see over here behind me. And the first time I even attempted to come out here on this trail, I started to feel some natural fears before I began this journey, knowing that I would have to come out here all alone, knowing that there are bears and mountain lions. And I started to have some irrational fears come into my mind. Even after I had planned all of this, even after I've lived all of these things, I had some irrational spiritual warfare fears that came into my mind in an attempt to stop me from doing this. You'll know that if you'll ever get to a place where you feel blessed because you have watched and taken this journey with me, that it will be an encouragement to you. It will be to the glory of God, but it will be very much to the indignation of Satan.
The more harm you do the devil, the more he'll fight against you.
And right after the prayer, five men show up to replace our entire AC unit with the copper lines going through the ceiling. No notification at all. And before we know it, the whole condo is filled with white dust all over my computer. We're still sick.
I'm having migraines.
We're having to get out on the porch to try to breathe clean air. It just felt so oppressive. I couldn't stand them being in the house. I wanted them out. We couldn't go anywhere. We're stuck in the little room. It just felt like pressure. Mm-hmm.
You must know at this stage, spiritual warfare is very real and it will come against you. And you will have thoughts in your mind that will seek to put fear and doubt and all kinds of irrational reasons why you should not be doing this, why you should not take this risk.
Satan's been trying to get us to quit and give up. Mm-hmm. I've had tempting thoughts to just like, forget it, I'm done with this. I'm just gonna go get a job and be done. It'll be so easy for me. The suffering will be over. I'll just go be like everybody else and just go get a normal job. Forget it, the ministry is over. I had a couple of thoughts like that today. Yet, I have this hope.
Example again, when I even attempted to make this journey, I found these fears about what if you get up there and you get hurt and something happens to you. You don't have health insurance. I don't have health insurance. What happens if you can't drive after you get injured? What happens if you end up leaving Lisa stranded all on her own? What about your knee? Your knee is hurting. You could do a lot more damage. Is this worth it? Will enough people even care about this series? I mean, isn't your channel a kind of a has-been? Why would people watch this? You're taking too much risk. This isn't gonna be enough of a blessing to anyone. You really shouldn't waste your time. This is ridiculous. There's other ways to make this message without having to go to all this trouble. And this is just frivolous. These thoughts, they have never gone away. My dear brother or sister in Christ, spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare is painful, and you need to recognize it right off the bat that you are going to have opposition.
So here it comes up to the clip of where there was actually a demonic deliverance. You can see that they're talking, but this...
I mean, it's got the waveform file, but when you press play... One writer said many years ago that it is no sign of God's blessing for Satan to leave you alone. I have found that to be so true. Every new attempt to climb higher with Jesus is met with opposition. I think probably one of the most vivid cartoon illustrations I've ever seen of that was the scene in Pilgrim's Progress. Where Christian has to fight the dragon. And he says, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna destroy you. And he's doing everything he can to prevent Pilgrim from being able to reach the next stage with God on his journey. It's something that can be so painful. Brothers and sisters, it's very easy for me to talk about it right now. It's very easy for you to be in agreement with it, for you to be saying yes and amen. It is very different to have to go through it. Spiritual warfare can be absolutely painful, where Satan is screaming at you what an idiot you are for doing this.
Why are you letting the devil just mock me like this, Lord? Why? What have I done but love you? What have I done but been willing to be a fool for you, God?
That spiritual warfare doesn't come through an angel that you can see. Very rarely. Very few people see anything like actually Satan. Some people, including myself, have seen demons, and I've seen demons try to harass me and touch me and hurt me and stop me and scare me and intimidate me. But more often than not, spiritual warfare comes through the disobedient around us. Those who, 2 Timothy 2:24 says, God, by his permissive will, has allowed Satan to take captive.
The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. Okay, you made it to the end. Now let me share with you this 2 weeks of extraordinary spiritual warfare we had facing the Old Lost Trail. 22 days after I put up the initial Old Lost Trail YouTube channel. First of all, let me back up. 15 days after we started the John 7:17 challenge, we had some spiritual warfare where our host completely turned against us in a very unthinkable way, became very rude and mean. And then we had an arsonist start a fire basically right behind the RV where we were standing. And so actually you can take a look at this right now.
This is our first California wildfire scare. We heard the helicopters all this morning. And now we've just tried to come home from groceries, and there's fire trucks everywhere, and we can smell smoke in the neighborhood, and there's a bunch of fires in California right now. So, yeah, this is pretty intimidating, and we can see smoke basically right up there. They don't know where it's coming from.
This is apparently the work of a local arsonist who's doing this, lighting these fires, and here we are in the middle of this. You can now really hear the helicopter. He's right above. Yeah. There's the helicopter right there. And the fire is right there below us. We may end up having to evacuate. Yeah, it's coming right above. Wow. Right above our RV. I mean, that's crazy.
And we saw, wow, look at the warfare. He does not want us to, you know, do this. We had to pack everything up, put our stuff by the door, and be prepared to leave in a moment's notice because we were under an evacuation notice at that time. I'm going to share with you the 2 weeks that started to happen, 22 days, 15 days for John 7:17, 22 days after we posted the or put up the first instance of the Old Lost Trail YouTube channel. The first thing that happens is that starts this whole 2 week crazy period. I get an email that says, I have written about you to 70 Calvary Chapel churches. And immediately I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? This man wrote a letter partly about some of his story, but including in his story was the premise that I am actually Michael the Archangel in the way that John the Baptist was Elijah, and that my eyes haven't yet been opened to it. When I saw this, and by the way, you might just immediately laugh this off, but this person is so intelligent. They are on a whole nother level of being able to examine scripture and find things. And he had taken my name and broken it into Jewish gematria, the number meanings. He had literally taken my entire name and broken it down and gave all these reasons and meaning. He gave all kinds of reasons behind my whole situation, my two spouses, my five children. I mean, it looked like he had scientifically proven, if you will, that I am like Michael the Archangel, and I just haven't yet realized it. I was so disturbed when I read this. It's like mental illness, and it's like, I don't know what to do with this, Lord. It was so disturbing. That was meant to be a huge offense to me to distract me away from this work. Then on July 17th, our car breaks down. The same day, a 400-acre wildfire breaks out right near us. So the mechanic just told us he thought it was pretty much a miracle that we made it here. We're at Gill's.
Creating power to the alternator. You were just running on pure luck and battery.
I know, man. Trust me, we're Christians. We prayed. We're like, Lord, get us here.
How far was your drive?
So 15 minutes. Yeah. 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. You're pretty amazed, huh?
Yeah. I'm pretty amazed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I didn't catch that part on video, but
no.
You heard him say, yes, when I said, I think I've lost my serpentine belt. And he said, oh, no.
No, you haven't. He said, no, you haven't lost that. If you had lost that, there's no way that your car would be running. You wouldn't have got here.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure, because, you know, we heard it flap. He goes, it has to be something else.
Yep.
And then he's like,
when he looked in there, he's like, wow, you've lost your belt. What a mess. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This fire is right close to us. We've just found out that it's now 50 to 70 acres. When we first got the notice, it was only about 0.1. And now look at the size of that fire. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is the road that I walk on every single morning. And wow, wow, wow. Thank God, I think it's on the other side of the mountain, but these things can jump so fast. Oh my goodness gracious. This is shocking to see the size of this. And that whole side of that mountain is on fire. Man, these are the houses that I walk past. I can't even believe it. Every day I'm walking past these houses. Everybody is so nervous out here. You see the guy. Man, oh man, oh man. I've never seen a fire this close. We go into a level one evacuation status. We have 1 week of noisy helicopters flying directly overhead to get to the water. As fast as they can. See them right through there. flying overhead. They're getting water right over there. It's pretty creepy, man. The helicopter's flying right over our head the whole time. Then a brother loses his mind. Days after our video call with him and his wife, in hopes that maybe he might actually one day even contribute in some way to our ministry or ministry teachings, he comes under full-blown demonic torment. He gets no sleep for 8 days, gets violent, ends up being thrown in jail. Multiple calls and texts back and forth between us and his wife. I'm actually on the phone with her while the police take him to the mental hospital. Then our daughter, Keely, has a Mormon friend. He becomes so arrogant and rude to us about our Jenga video that we had put out where I had talked about the Mormons being not true Christians, to the point that we have to block him from where he was connecting to us to social media. And we tell our daughter we are done with him, want nothing to do with him. Then our daughter gets some information twisted. She gets totally offended after Satan offends her with something I said to her. And we get on the verge of thinking we may lose her over this. It was absolutely shocking. Then a lady named Jennifer, who had volunteered to help us with our John 7:17 book edits to convert it from the 8x10 to the 6x9, she goes into a marriage crisis on a whole nother level. She's getting abuse from her husband, keeping her up late at night, arguing and screaming with her at 3 o'clock at night, clearly blocking the work while she's trying to edit it, preventing her from being able to finish the work. Then I get attacked in my mind that I am not loving enough, and I get absolutely terribly frustrated about all the people over the years who have contacted me like I haven't done enough, and it just gets in my head, and I blurt out a curse word in frustration about it. And this is regarding the conversation back and forth with the man who ends up in the mental hospital and me trying to help and all this stuff. So I end up getting so frustrated, I blurt out a curse word one day, talking about it with Lisa. Then our RV water supply hose starts to leak.
This is the leak here. I'll send you a message about it, but that's pretty bad. You're going to need to replace the hose.
And I have to run around for a half a day looking for parts to fix it. Then one of our propane tanks begins to leak after I got it filled, and I have to run back around to look for a way to get that fixed. All of that happens while the owners are gone. They're out of town while this is all happening. Then Lisa has 6 days of migraine headaches during this time. Terrible headaches. Then I spend several days researching and finally signing up for an app through a particular company so we can have an app for Relentless Heart. And after trying to get the admin set up and putting up a few videos to try it out and going through the painful process of getting the app developer accounts for both Apple and Google, they come back and tell us that they can't publish our app after all because we're an individual and not a business entity. And now I was having to chase down from all three of those organizations a refund, and all of that time was totally wasted. Finally, a man who had been such a huge fan for years of the John 7:17 challenge and who even wanted to do book fulfillment for us, after months of emailing me back and forth, questioning my teachings in the Old Lost Trail series, he finally turns against me being rude, saying my messages are too long, nobody wants to listen to them because they're too long, and saying that I am wrong and prideful, and we end up having to block him. After all this, I end up with a type of adrenal fatigue, losing all of my energy, and can barely work at all. I write at this point for several days, getting behind on posting the series by a whole week. Just one thing after another. I mean, just try to imagine a freak car breakdown in the morning, and then by the afternoon, we have a fire that starts right behind us that ends up becoming 400 acres, and we're on evacuation alert status all week long. We got through all of that with peace, but I ended up being attacked in this area of feeling guilty. It's something that I have struggled with so much. I'm not even going to go into it here, but it's something I've struggled with for years in my ministry, and I had to fight to the point of yelling out a curse word just because Satan making me so frustrated about this, as if I haven't already given enough. And I made a few mistakes and I allowed some open doors to me that I shouldn't have, while I'm being told by God to stay focused. And I ended up, as a result of those 2 weeks, I ended up going into like nothing short of an energy crisis and having a situation where any new little email things or situations with Keely or situations with here and there that popped up, I would have this immediate like stress response to it, almost like what people may call PTSD, where you've been in war and then you see a scene in a movie and it triggers that thing in you. It could be something like that, where, and I'd never had this happen before, where it was just instant. I'd have to start breathing weird. I could feel it in my body. It would just kind of go through my whole body and I would go into weakness and my volume would drop, my speed would drop, and I'm just praying and praying and praying. Brothers and sisters, spiritual warfare is real. Now, this is a long video. In the next video, thank you so much for watching. In the next video, I'm going to share with you some of the reminders of things that I do and have done, how I got through these spiritual battles. How is it that I'm sitting here today after 14 to 15 years of an onslaught? Actually, it's more than that if you count. We're coming up on 16 years since I really started to be informed on spiritual warfare in that February. And how is it that I've made it through all of this, all these years, whether it was being held down in my bed by a demon or facing wildfires or facing the false accusations of Carrie or facing the injustice in a court system, whatever it is, how did I get through it? We'll talk about that in the next video. Thank you for watching. God bless you mightily in the name of Jesus Christ as we continue to make this climb to the summit in his holy and precious name. Amen. May God bless you to be courageous, just as you were through a stage of surrender, to face some of the fearful things all around you that come in the name of spiritual warfare. Now it's time for us to hit the trail again. I'll see you at the next stage. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.